Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Bill Hux, Will Wilson. I got to tell you, Will, I am kind of distracted for a moment. If you see me in the video, currently, if you're not watching, oh boy, it is USA Women's Volleyball is in a 5-setter right now against Turkey. They were down, a lot of service errors. They have come back, by the way, to take a 13-11 lead off a tremendous big block by one Jordan Larson, former Nebraska player. They're up 13-11 in the fifth, 2 points to end that match. So I apologize if you had to watch me through the video just throwing my hands up in the air watching it, man. I love the Olympics. And then women's volleyball, especially when you have three former Huskers on that team, it's pretty exciting. I'm sure there's probably a lot of people watching it right now.
Is this the – it's not a medal match, or is it?
No, we're still in pool play, I believe, but okay. I would imagine – I don't know a lot about the Turkish volleyball team. I would imagine it would be a major upset if USA were to lose this one.
Well, keep us updated on that one, please.
I will. Yeah, so 13-11, Turkey just took a timeout. So we're 2 points from the match to secure that win. Also, I want to say special thanks here to Coach Brett Jody for joining us. Live from Fargo, from his hotel room. It sounds like he did not have a do not disturb sign, if you caught that part. They were coming in to clean the room and check him out so they could go to the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then him talking about, you know, being, you know, following the COVID protocols. You know, he missed a few games, of course, and having to watch the games on TV. He said he never had to do that. He never missed a game.
Never missed a game. And then also that, you know, the dogs, it sounds like they've done a really nice job of with whether they had, you know, some other COVID out or some injuries, they've been battling through it. They are sitting still at 500 in that, just a few, a few games out, they can go on a run, a few games out to get back in the playoff race. And that's the goal. Get to the playoffs, right? Get to the playoffs.
Get to the playoffs. I like it. Second place.
So, Yeah. So
you gotta get.
They'll be back home. They'll be back home coming up. So that'll be awesome coming up. By the way, right now we are 14-12, but there's been a challenge requested by Turkey if there was a touch on a play. So while they're doing that, let's rock it. Will, what's trending at 10?
Menzel will be cut at the start of the year.
Do you think that Kyrie is worth all of this drama?
New fallout from the Astros cheating scandal, with some Astros players taking heat for how they're apologizing for the cheating.
Oh, what's going on?
Here's what's trending at 10.
Hooks, it's official. Reggie Bush will not be getting his Heisman Trophy back. The Heisman Committee, or whatever it is, they officially said, nope, not doing it. So Reggie Bush will not be getting his Heisman back. Thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of read a little bit about that. And, well, you know, you and I talked about this a little bit, about the difference of the NIL versus the impermissible benefits that one receives. There's a defining line between that. So I assume that's where that went, is the definition of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. I know a lot of people thought maybe he was going to get it back, but seems like the whole committee just wanted this thing to die down and then give their decision. And, you know, I don't see too many people getting mad about this, so it might have worked.
Yeah, just to update you, by the way, USA Volleyball is a winner, 15-12 in set five. They get the job done in a grueling 5-setter against Turkey.
Perfect. Love to see it. All right, getting out of pool play undefeated, I believe. It's good to see.
I believe so.
Let's move on to some NBA. So Ben Simmons, obviously his name is being tossed around, and Daryl Morey, you know, obviously GM for the Sixers, they're wanting a quote unquote Harden-esque return for Ben Simmons. And, you know, we saw what happened in the playoffs. You know, there's that one play. Hooks, are they insane for wanting something like that in return?
They're out of their mind. That ship has sailed. That was a few years ago, if you were making that move. Even we go back a few weeks ago when we talked to Jameson Welch about it. He said that they're probably in that CJ McCollum type trade value. If you're looking at a player, there is not a chance anybody's biting on that you're going to get a Harden-esque type player. Done, not happening.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, if it wasn't for that one play, and, you know, maybe this postseason, I would maybe see what they're saying. But after all that, you know, I'm almost trying to like, see it, see why they're asking that. I mean, it was one play, Hooks. If it wasn't for that one play, I doubt we're even having this conversation. But that one play where he just threw the ball away when he had a wide open layup, kind of crazy to think that might have just killed his career.
Well, I know Ben Simmons is a, you know, good defender and can do it, but here's like, so for instance, here is, I mean, when you look at it from stat-wise, he is a career, let's see here, sorry, it's running really slow. He's a career 16-point guy in his first 4 years in the NBA. He doesn't, I mean, his, from three land, non-existent, right? He's under 30% in his last 2 years shooting in the NBA. If you look at it from the free throw side, he's under 60% for his career shooting the free throw. Those are just awful looking numbers when you look at it. He does do some nice job. He's a 7.7 career assist guy. You know, he does some nice job defensively, but when you look at his overall like offensive stats, he does shoot about 56% overall, but there's a lot of holes in that game, man. There's a lot of holes in that game that you got to have a guy willing to get to the bucket that can scare you a little bit offensively. And here in recent times, no, that is not what's happening with the Ben Simmons camp.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Jameson did say his name was going to be traded during draft night, which is tonight. And I guess we could kind of hit on this real fast. I mean, I'm pretty set on Cunningham going one, right? Are you?
Yeah, I think he should be. And I like what James said yesterday. There's a lot of draft, quote-unquote, speak that goes on. So it'd be interesting. I do think eventually he goes number one tonight.
And, you know, is it me, Hooks, or, you know, does this draft kind of not have, even though there's good players in the draft, it doesn't feel, I don't know, exciting. Is it just me?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of players. I think it is exciting, but there's a lot of players that you might not know. Like, you might not watch some of these West Coast guys play from where they're at and things like that. So, but it's exciting from a talent level. But again, there's not the names that I think everyone is accustomed to. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing goes. I'm interested to see about what some of these teams do to maybe try to trade up into the draft late. Some teams are, whether it be like the Warriors. I mean, I'm kind of interested what the Warriors kind of do because they have two picks up there. If they try to make a deal to bring in a player to make them, because they're going to live in championship land all the time. Just Detroit, you know, it's just that's the chess match that I'm looking forward to late before this thing gets going.
What about Toronto? Wouldn't it be awesome if they, you know, traded up and got the number one pick? You know, that would just be awesome. That would be the draft buzz that I would tune in to see.
Yeah, is that enough to keep Kyle Lowry around?
No, I don't think so. He's like Jameson said, he's wanting like $30 million a year, which I don't see.
That'll be interesting.
Moving on to an NFL story. This came out actually during hour one. It's just interesting to see some of these details. So Titans receiver Julio Jones and former NFL receiver Roddy White. I did have him on one of my first ever fantasy teams, which is interesting. It's how young I am. And listen to these details. There's a lawsuit filed by Genetics LLC, and it accuses Jones and White of involvement in efforts to divert cannabis products from an otherwise legal cultivation and distribution operation in order to make black market sales. The lawsuit alleges that Jones, White, and multiple other defendants have sold since March 2021 a whopping $3 million per month of cannabis products on the black market, and that they laundered money arising from those sales. I don't know the whole marijuana business. You know, maybe this is common in the whole thing, money laundering, but nonetheless, never a good look to be getting sued.
No, that's a bad look, and obviously there'll be a lot more to come from that. Maybe it's one of those things that they were upset because the NIL just came out and they wanted to get their due what's due. But it's an interesting part about what that's going on. It just feels like it's seen from Ozarks or something right now with money laundering and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. But What a time for it to come out as camps open up, too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Roddy White, though, he's fine. He got a good amount of money in the NFL, yeah, right?
I mean, they all got paid.
But why are they needing to do this?
I don't know. And do it in such a shady way.
That's interesting. Hey, Hooks, do you remember that Javi Baez walk-off against the Reds the other night?
Yeah, when he was he looked like he was sweeping the bat.
Yeah, well, I thought he was, like, rowing the boat or something.
Whatever it was.
Number one, first off, give me your thoughts on what he did.
Well, there's history, right?
Yes.
There's history. You go back to, however long ago, when Baez walked it off again, and then whoever the pitcher was yelling at Javi the entire time and clearing the benches and things like that. So it's just, there's history there, and now it's I got you again. I got you again. You can't get me, Javi Baez. Just kind of rubbing salt in the wound a little bit.
Well, you being the baseball fan, I know you are. I'm surprised you're not mad at what he did.
You know, I am a little bit, but once the talk starts to happen, the adrenaline gets going and the emotions. Again, as a pitcher or as a hitter, like, you can't start that bout and not be willing to, if it presented itself again, if you get beat again, that you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Reds pitchers started this. Like, and if Javi had another chance, it could be anything. If you had another chance to do anything, it was coming back out.
Yeah. Javi actually got fined for what he did. The MLB.
Taunting. Fined for taunting.
Wow. I can't believe it. I really can't believe the MLB would find somebody for doing that. They really don't want their players to have fun or grow.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when it looked at it, it looked like, all right, we're going to fine you because they did not suspend him. It's one of those things that it's like, all right, we got to say something, but here you go. Fine, we won't suspend you.
Unreal. By the way, did you see the Mets and Kumar Rocker? They're saying his contract could be in jeopardy. They were looking at his throwing elbow, and they found some things wrong with it. So they're saying, I saw that the quote was like, the contract is in jeopardy. My question to you is, Hooks, like, let's say they don't like what they found in his elbow. Like, what's next? They don't sign him, and then anybody can sign Kumar?
I assume so. He just goes back into some free agent pool or whatever. I don't know. That's an interesting point because, like we've talked to Dane before, when kids get to campus, same thing when guys get drafted, they go through full medical exams all the way through. So that's an interesting information that has now transpired. It'd be something to watch for sure.
So we got the MLB trade deadline going down, and the Mariners, we mentioned before the show, they're looking at Trevor Story in Denver, but they did deal their closer just the other night, Kendall Graveman. They traded him to the Astros while they were playing the Astros. Let's not forget the spot the Mariners are in. They're, one spot out or two spots out of the wild card. And they made that trade. And apparently Mariners players were furious. And they felt betrayed. This is all in reports. Apparently they started breaking things in the clubhouse. And they're pissed off at their GM for trading their closer in the middle of a playoff chase.
Yeah. Dude, that's, again, going back to it, it is the business of the business, is it not? You see deals like this all the time that happen when guys are in and they get pulled out and all this stuff. So it's a business, man. It is a business, and whether it be an upgrade or not, it's something you have to deal with.
Right. And then, of course, we talked about the Yankees. They reports are saying that they went out and got Joey Gallo from the Rangers, and they also got a left-handed pitcher, Jolly Rodriguez. But then listen to what the Rangers got. They got just a ton of prospects from the Yankees farm. They got a second baseman, two second basemen, a right-handed pitcher, and then a shortstop. And Hooks, what do you think of just what the Rangers got? I think that goes a lot to say how deep the Yankees farm system is.
Yeah, man. If you're going to do that, if you're sending players pretty much on lease to another team, you want prospects in place. That way you can continue, like, you take prospects from them, put them in your farm system, build them up. And, man, that's how you build a lot of teams will build winners like that, by getting the young ones, the best young ones, give them a system, work their way up, and in a few years you see them on the field, hopefully.
So the Yankees are apparently in buy mode then.
They're in buy mode. You mentioned it. What are they, two games out of the wild card, something like that?
Two and a half, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a little
that's
more.
What they're gunning. That's what they're gunning for. Just get in the playoffs.
Yep. Yep. That's what. So, yeah, Boone will have a job probably until the end of the season. And if they don't make the wild card, I think it's safe to say he'll be gone. Hooks, let's just briefly mention this. I know we have Henry coming up. Or you know what? We'll have a few minutes to talk about that. Let me get to this. We have the first round of Olympic golf finished, and play was actually stopped for a long time last night because there was weather. So they resumed, and the first round is done. And Sepp Straka out of Austria, a nice 63, 8 under to lead. Ooh, after yeah. The first round.
Wow. Showed up, took it by the horns, and just got a big score, right? I mean,
Austria.
Austria. Hey, man, show up. And like, did you mention this? There's going to be someone that shoots a low round that we're not thinking of, right? And it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happened. There's still a lot of guys who, I mean, I believe it's a 4-round deal. There'll be a lot of people that try to play their way back in this. Again, we got some American golfers. What we had a couple go 3 under yesterday that we picked. Justin Thomas, by the way, I think he did something that's probably crazy hard to do. He had 18 pars.
Impressive.
18 pars.
That's impressive to me.
No birdie bogey thing. It was 18 pars.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the top five, it's just a ton of guys that we don't really know. They're just guys from different countries. And funny enough, the American that has the best score is Patrick Reed.
Oh my gosh, he got off the bus after traveling and got his sticks, laced him up, and shot 3 under.
Amazing. We'll see how he's feeling today, though. Getting used to that time change. First night actually sleeping on it. We'll see how he's feeling this morning.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes for him. We'll
there's
see how
it goes. So Hooks, correct me if there's 4 rounds. I'm going to guess there's no cut.
Oh yeah, no cut. All guys play throughout this thing, and they rock it through the top three. That's it. Gold, silver, bronze.
Just
where it's at.
Just pride for your country.
Pride for your country, man.
We got it. You know, a few minutes before we have to get to Henry. Hooks, we should probably talk about this Big 12 and cease and desist order.
Yeah, man, this is something special, man. If you didn't see it yesterday, a lot of reports coming out that the Big 12, it believes the American is attempting to grab 8 remaining members with Texas and Oklahoma leaving for the SEC in a few years. They're concerned that they're actually attempting to get all 8. And Bowlesby said, I'm absolutely certain ESPN was involved in with the American trying to poach. Oh, sorry, there's that website again, Will.
Yeah, so I found out if you right-click on the tab, you can mute the page.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I need to learn that. So,
CBS.
Like I said, Bowlesby believes that ESPN was absolutely involved in trying to get the American to go grab the other 8. The Big 12, as you can tell right now, they're in an absolute fight to the death stance. Again, like it's a struggle for them because 2 of the most powerful members just left there. This will be interesting because, as we all know, there are some ESPN ties with the SEC, the AAC, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I don't like it. I don't know. I just feel like I don't like ESPN having so much power with the conferences and teams going places. And it just seems like a big conflict of interest, especially when they go on at night and report on all that stuff and try and, you know, report on it fairly to us, even though we know they're giving money in business with all of these other conferences. I don't know. It's a weird situation. I definitely understand where the Big 12 is coming from.
Well, here's the thing when you look at it is as long as the Big 12 remains viable, ESPN and Fox cannot reduce the conference rights fees under the current contract. So Big 12, and I'm reading the article, CBSSports.com, Big 12 schools each make approximately $37 million annually. Industry sources told CBS and that the Big 12's worth declined 50 to 75% with the defections of the Longhorns and the Sooners. Big time money lost for schools that have gone through everything, man, with COVID and all this stuff, you know, the funds and all that. But it all goes down to ESPN has exclusive rights to the ACC, and it will have those rights to the SEC soon. It shares Tier 1 media rights with Fox for the Big 10, Big 12, and Pac-12. Money, 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 money.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing we could really do, right? I mean, As long as it's ESPN, for God's sake. Who is ever gonna, you know?
Dude, man, they're gonna fight to the death of this thing. It's gonna be fun to watch.
Let's take it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, all the way up. So, let's do it. Man, that's crazy. It's crazy. Also, by the way, in Olympic news out there, before we get this, be the last one. We all know, you know, actually there was this situation with Simone Biles that went down, but America doesn't stop. They don't stop their dominance in the all-around women's title. Sunny Lee wins gold for U.S. in the gymnastics all-around, making it every gold medal in the all-around since 2004.
Booyah.
Take that. We don't miss beats there, buddy. We don't miss beats. So,
love it.
All right, man. Let's do it. Let's go ahead. Let's take a break. Let's take a break right now. We come back. We will jump and bring on Husker legend Henry T. Buchanan.